All right, good morning, everybody. This thing's over my head. This is up for Brother Aaron. How do I shrink this down to short people level? There we go. How many of you short? Short problems? He's gigantic. That's out of control. Acts chapter 12 in the Word of God. Whoops, I'm coming down here. You all ready for this? Whoop. Is that going to work? Good morning.
You dropped your
phone. Acts chapter 12. Thank you, buddy. Go ahead and look there in your Bible. Great to see you. Youth leaders, thank you for bringing your groups. And we're so glad that you did bring them here today. This church putting a lot of work into the youth conference, and we appreciate it. You girls, thank you for singing. Y'all did great with that. I'm glad to see you, and I want you to have a great day today. So just relax, have fun, and let's let the Lord speak to us. Now, when you come into a meeting like this, here's what you have. There's three different groups of people. You have a group of people that are on fire for the Lord. And man, you've got some crowd here, and they're excited about the Lord, and they love the Lord. And then you've got some other people kind of in the middle. It's not as if you don't love the Lord, but maybe you're not on fire for the Lord. Maybe you were, but maybe just right now that you're not. And then sometimes there's a group of people that they're spiritually cold. And I'm not saying it to be mean. It's just being honest. Sometimes there's people, maybe you don't even know much about Jesus. Maybe you've never been, and here's a Bible word, saved. And maybe you're saved, but you just kind of don't have the love for the Lord that you should have, and maybe kind of spiritually cold. But listen, everybody's in one of those three groups. Now, if you are spiritually cold, what will happen is sometimes you might think, well, you know, I don't really know that God wants to hear from me. And so you think, I don't know that, you know, I'm really going to hear from the Lord in my heart. But that's not true. God wants to talk to you. And if you're in the middle crowd, listen to me, there's another level for you to go up to. And that's important that you do that. And then also, if you're on fire for the Lord, God still wants to speak to you. But here's the cool thing about it. God wants to talk to you in your heart. God wants to talk to you in your heart. Can I switch things around here just a little bit? Do you mind? I already did that. I hope that was okay. Was that all right? Preacher, I hope you're not mad at me. I just came right over the top here. We're rolling with things. But let's do this. Can I get, what's the last group there in the back rows? Where are you all at there? Brother, can I bring you all up front? Is that okay? Can I do that? I feel like I'm preaching to another state all the way there in the back. Y'all grab your stuff. Come on up here. Let's just get, what's that? West Virginia people, they have issues. Is that what that is all about? Come on, y'all come on up here if you don't mind. And we'll, sure. Either side, I'll just bring you up, and that way we're not so far back. And I don't care. Let's just do that if you don't mind. And that way I can get up in everybody's grill. I don't like having people 400 miles away sometimes. And this is my soul. You're all half the group. Look at that. That's great. Glad that you're here. And y'all can come. You girls, you want to come up? You take this side. It doesn't matter. I've got some in the middle. Whatever. Hey, some of you girls, y'all, you mind, brother? Can I break them up a little bit? All right. They look like they're the cold group in Eve Revival. You look right in here. We can fill you up there. Do you mind? You girls got the GSBC shirts. Were you just there? Okay. Are you going? All right. Are you going for school? Oh, Brother Giovanelli working you over. I know how that is. He's a good man. I preached the youth conference at Brother Treber's. He's a great man. Appreciate him. Now, Brother Dave Noggle, yep, there he is back there. Brother Dave's from Independent. Raise your hand. He was a teenager in my youth department. He actually came. Did you know that? And survived it. We didn't. No death there. And we had some near death. How many of you had a near death experience in the youth department? You ever had that? You ever had your youth leader almost kill you driving a vehicle? Ever doing that? Something crazy? I've got a man who now works for us, but we took him on his senior trip. He's now 40 years old. I'm an old man. I'm 48. How many of you think that sounds old? Don't you girls raise your hand. Yeah. You think that sounds old? How many think it sounds young? It sounds young? There we go. How many think it sounds kind of in the middle, right? Yeah, that's normally what I get at 48. But anyway, I've got a guy in our church, and I took him on his senior trip, and then he was on a jet ski behind me. And I don't know if I should trust you sitting behind me, but anyway. But he was on a jet ski behind me, and then another one of our teenagers who's now a missionary to the Middle East, and he was on there, and he was holding on to the guy in front of him. So I had him on the jet ski. I was trying to throw him off, and we're going real hard, and I cut that thing, and they went flying off. And as I cut back around, the one dude had gone underneath in the water with his life preserver. You know how sometimes you shoot up with those things after you've gone down deep in the water? So he comes shooting up right in front of the jet ski, and I drilled him right between the eyes. I mean, yeah, and just like that. And just immediately just blew up his head with blood. It was just, I thought I killed him. I mean, it was just terrible. It was just like, boom, and just, that was it. You know, just right over top here, and he got blasted by the thing. And so just bleeding like a stuck pig. I thought, man, we're in trouble. So we ended up at the hospital, and he still to this day has got a big old scar from it. So sometimes youth pastors almost kill you, and you have to be careful and watch out. And those things type happen. But here's the thing. Brother Dave grew up and was part of our youth department. Thank the Lord for that. And you're only a teenager for just a few short years, so you need to enjoy it. You need to enjoy your time. Now, when the old people like us, they say, well, young people, they're the greatest days of your life. You won't hear me say that because you're in school. And I'm never going to tell you that the greatest day of your life is when you're in school. All right. Now, the teachers are just frowning at me, but it's just true, right? The best day was the day I took my last test in college. That was the best day. No more school. How many of you get out beginning of, end of May? End of May? Beginning of June? All right, good. End of June? All right, good. Most of you somewhere in the beginning. And anyway, I'm from New Jersey, Promised Land. How many of you have ever been to New Jersey? Wow, look at that. How many of you don't care if you ever go to New Jersey? Yeah, that's what I thought. But anyway, how many of you want to go to New York City? Right? Oh, yeah, right. You just run right over top of the New Jersey people on the way to New York. And we're from New Jersey, Solid Rock Baptist Church. My dad started our church 35 years ago. It'll be in October that we've been there 35 years. And my dad got saved when he was 30 years old. My mom was 28 when she got saved. And they just hit the ground running in the local church back in the 1970s. A lot of people were getting saved. A lot of great things happening. And my parents got saved. And my dad ended up, he was upstairs shaving one day. He was a drywall construction worker. And the pastor came, yelled up to him, hey, I want you to come work for the church. And he did. And he was working for the church. My mom was working for the church. 1980, we moved to Brother Roloff's. Anybody ever heard of Lester Roloff? Some of you know that name. And Brother Roloff was an evangelist, and he was also a pastor. It's kind of a strange thing. On the sign outside the church, it said, Pastor, Evangelist Lester Roloff. And Brother Roloff was just that kind of a guy. He was really different. And he was a man of God, knew the Lord, and he had a home for children and adults that had had rough times, people that were in trouble. So we moved there to Texas for just one school year. My dad was principal for the Christian school there, the Rebecca Christian School. And Brother Roloff was there preaching. He was my preacher when I was 13 years old, and came back from Brother Roloff's. And my dad started our church in 1981. And that's a long time ago, but we started the Solid Rock Baptist Church. How many of you are preacher's kids? Preacher's kids? How many? Youth pastor kids, leaders kids, Christian school teachers kids. Some of you, your parents in full-time Christian service. Good. And that's what happened with us. We cranked up and we hit the ground running in the local church and just making it happen. God was good. Went to Bible college back in 1986, at dinosaur days. And my first year back then, I went to Trinity Baptist College in Jacksonville, Florida. And then I went to Hiles Anderson for 2 years in the summer. And for those of you know all about that, and went there. And then I finished up by Brother Fred Schindler. Some of you might know that name, Northeast Baptist School of Theology. And took my last 6 credits there and graduated from Hiles Anderson. So anyway, that's my life story. I have 3 girls, 23, 19, and 18. And 16. My goodness, 23, 19, 16. Don't tell Melinda, my little one, that I said that. But Christiana, Vanessa, Melinda, and my wife, Jay, and they're home. A lot of times they travel with me, but they're home today because we've got a Mother's Day tea, and they're home, whatever you do at a tea, sip tea, and doing all that kind of groovy stuff. But that's what they're up to. And we have my wife, and she tolerates me, puts up with me. We have a good time just serving the Lord and trying to live for God. And it's good to be saved, good to know the Lord, and good to be here. Again, youth leaders, thank you. I know you got 50,000 things on your schedule, and so it's nice to come and support your brothers and sisters in the Lord at this church here, and it's good to be here today. Now, I don't want to bore you. I want to try to help you. Now, I know what happens. A lot of times you come in, and some of you know who I am, and some of you never seen me before. It's like, take the first 30 minutes to decide if you're even going to listen or not. I don't want you to do that today. I just wanted you to give me the benefit of the doubt. I didn't just come here to yell at you. I do want to try to help you. Now, sometimes I yell like every other preacher does, but I want to make sure that we get something from God today. Doesn't make sense to come and do all that we do at a youth rally and then not hear from God. Y'all know what I mean by that? To hear from God, it's where God talks to you in your heart. Remember how I said 3 different groups up here? Now, if I told you your favorite athlete was in the back of the building right now, all right, on the count of 3, your favorite athlete is 1, 2, 3. Steph Curry. Oh, y'all, you like Steph? He's a shooter. Anybody like the Spurs? Anybody at all? No? No? Your favorite basketball team is? 1, 2, 3. A lot of Warriors. Who? Cavaliers. Brother, no cussing in church. Come on now. My daughter is a LeBron freak. She is just crazy. If you look at my Instagram thing, go back. I took her to a game, and we went in November. It was her 16th birthday. We went out to Cleveland, and we went there, and I tried to figure out from the seating arrangement how we could get close to where he was at, and he doesn't come out with a normal warm-up, and I can't stand LeBron, but she thinks he's like, oh, LeBron. Her name's Melinda. She calls herself LeBronda. How weird is that, right? But God helped me with this thing. We got seats in the one section, and I was trying to get as close to the tunnel where he comes out. And they let you do the autograph thing down in the front at the beginning, but he doesn't come out for that. So we got down into the section where it comes out of the tunnel, and then there was three guys that had bought seats outside the stadium. They were closer to the tunnel than what we were, and I had my daughter and then my nephew with me, so there's three of us. So I asked the guys, hey, you want to trade seats? Because it would actually make them closer to the court, and they did. So we got as close to the railing as we possibly could. We had the last seat over, and LeBron came out. I'm going to show this on video, but anyway. LeBron came out, and he slapped her hand, high-fived her going by. She's crying, like literally crying, and was so excited about it. It's ridiculous. And then she had a sign made up. You know, I came all the way from New Jersey to watch you play. And when he came out at halftime from the tunnel, he read it and smiled and slapped her hand. And it was like her head exploded. It was crazy. So some of you don't care about basketball. LeBron, what's that? Is that, you know, a dessert? No, it's not. He's a basketball player. But anyway, dessert, food. Yes, you ready for lunch? What are we having? Can we tell?
Well,
it's a secret. Yeah. All right, good. Is it good? Oh, come on. What is that? Is it good? Yeah. Oh, what's that? It depends what age you are. Okay. How many of you are hungry? Can I get a witness right there? Yes, right? Come on, you girls don't raise your hand. No, I'm not really. You're lying, too. I have girls. Come on, right? My girls, you girls, you go with the McDonald's and the guys are like, no, I don't really. I'm not hungry. The boys aren't there. It's like, I'll take 2 supersize number 3s, you know, extra large, whatever. My daughter Melinda's 19, Vanessa, and she's just a beast. I mean, she's pretty scrawny. She plays piano, she sings, and she's pretty scrawny, but she eats like a horse. She just, like, all the time, Dad, I'm starving. She's got an alto voice, Dad, I'm starving. And that's how she is, but anyway. At the Mother's Day tea today, they're having a fashion show at our church. She's the bride. And they've got her in a wedding gown. I didn't like seeing that because that's just, you know, I shotgun the guy that wants to marry her. And, yeah, but anyway, but she and now I got to pay for weddings. You know what I mean? You have kids? What do you have?
Two
and an 8 month. Girls, boys?
Two girls.
There you go. I have 3. And what's that mean? It means I'm broke. You girls know all about it, right? The older they get, brother, the more it costs, trust me. Used to be inexpensive, you know, we'll go to American Girl Doll. Now it's like, let's go to Macy's, let's go to the mall, let's spend money, Ulta. I mean, what a retarded thing that is. Waste of money, spend my money, wash it off every night. That's not good. But anyway, the guys don't even know what I'm talking about right now, but you girls do. Acts chapter 12. Thanks for being here. And some of you need to make a friend today. I don't like people. Well, don't be snotty. And I don't need any friends. Well, maybe somebody needs you to be a friend. Right? Needs you to be a friend. So you need to meet somebody you never met before. Oh, no, no, no. Us 4 no more. Yeah. Let's do that right now. Find somebody you never met before. Oh, no. Really? No, I'm watching. And if you don't, I'm going to arrange it. Come on now. Right now, move around. Find somebody you never met before and learn their name. Come on. What's your name? Serenity. That is a cool name. What's your name? Jaden? Cool. All right. Meet somebody you have not met. Introduce yourself. Come on. All right. Did you find somebody? All right, good. Good, good, good. Excellent. All right, on the count of three, give me that person's name. One, two, three. Serenity. I met Serenity. Serenity and Jaden. What's your name? Well, it's nice to meet you, Cody. I'm glad you're on the front row.
I'm 12 years old.
Well, great.
Next year, I'll be 13.
13. How many of you are excited about Cody turning 13 next year? Absolutely. Acts 12.
I do have a big brother named
Corey,
and I do have a sister back home named
Tip,
and I do have two little...
Do you have a dog? No. All right. A pet fish. What's the fish's name? You what?
Hey,
all right, hold on. I gotta hold on.
I do have two little sisters named Trent and Molina.
Okay, good. Anybody else?
I do have my mom.
Well, good.
My mom's name is Rebecca.
Rebecca?
Yeah.
All right, that's nice to meet Rebecca someday. I'm gonna tell her about the fish. I love Cody because he's on the front row. That's what we need, more revival. Let's pray. Lord, thanks for today. Thank you for the young people that are here. Thank you for Brother Aaron putting these things together and all the work of this church. Thank you for the girls singing this morning. Thank you for Mason and Matt coming along with me, doing the driving. And Lord, I thank you for all the blessings of the day. Thank you for Dunkin' Donuts and my maple donut. Thank you for food and whatever we're going to have for lunch that's secret. Thank you for Cody's fish, and I pray you'd help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, brother, right? Acts 12. Now, here's we got the story. I want you to notice it. Acts chapter 12, you there? Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. Now, the word vex means to torture, to persecute. So here it is. You got this king, and his name is Herod. And Herod stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. You ever have something stretch forth its hands and say, I'm going to get you, right? Oh, stretch forth your hands. This morning, my nephew Travis, some of you may have some of our music, Clark Family Music. Some of you have some of that. If you want it, you can get it on iTunes. But anyway, my nephew Travis, some of you may have seen him sing, and he knows my name is all over the place. And he's saying, but he killed a turkey this morning. And I hope that's okay, right? Y'all hunt? Some of you like hunting? How many of you like to eat turkey? All right, so someday, somewhere somebody killed the turkey you ate at lunch. At Thanksgiving. Are we having turkey for lunch? All right. But Thanksgiving but anyway, Trav killed the turkey, and he said I finished it off by choking it with my hands. Now, he lied. Then he said, I'm just kidding. He didn't. But he shot it with a crossbow. But the idea, violence. But here it is. Herod is stretching forth his hands to vex certain of the church. He's going to torture them. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Boy, that's rough. They were really being persecuted. So Herod killed James. Young people, you know why you sit here today on padded pews and get to play games, and I'm here and part of this, and all the blessings that we have living in America? There are people all around the world that are being persecuted. There are people dying. Did you know more people right now are being martyred, they're being killed for the cause of Jesus Christ than at any other point in world history? Right now. While we enjoy all that we enjoy, young people your age are dying simply because they're Christians. So what we see here in Acts 12, it's going on in the world today. Thank God we live in America, and all God's people said, man, I'm glad I'm an American. I'm glad I have freedom to be here. So don't ever complain, oh man, we have to go to the youth rally. No, you get to go to the youth rally. But here they killed James. Herod was a wicked king. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Verse 4, notice. And because he saw it pleased the Jews. Now, that's pretty sick. Because it pleased the Jews. It made the Jews happy that James got killed. I mean, how rough is that? He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. So he arrested Peter. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, locked him up, he put him in prison, and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers. Now, that's 16, okay? There was four in each one of those quaternions, and there's four there. And so there were 16 soldiers against Peter and locking him up. I mean, that's a posse of soldiers right there. And they arrest him to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. So they killed James, and they arrested Peter, and they're going to bring him out after Easter, and we're going to bring him out there, and these 16 soldiers have him locked up. Notice, Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. Can you see it? Can you imagine? Here's a soldier on one side, soldier on the other. Peter's locked up. Notice, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. Now, if I had watched James get killed and I had been arrested, I don't know that I would have been able to go to sleep. But Peter was out cold. He's snoozing between these two soldiers. I guess God just gave him grace to sleep. And the keepers before the door kept the prison. So they're making sure Peter can't escape. He's in chains. He's got a soldier on each side, and they're watching the gate. Notice, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side, smacked him, and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. So here's a miracle. Man, you got the angel shows up. There's a light in the prison. He stands up, and the chains fall off. Clink, and man, they go down to the ground. And this angel talks to him and tells him, "Arise up quickly." And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself, put your coat on, and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee, and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. Peter thinks, "I'm dreaming. This is not even happening right now. My chains fell off. I'm talking to an angel. I'm walking outside. This can't even be happening right now." He thought he saw a vision. Verse 10, notice, when they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. So here it is, the gate swings open, right in front of them. And it opens up, and they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from them. Here goes the angel, gone. Can you imagine this really happening? I mean, it's amazing. Peter is locked up. He's got all these soldiers. And here it is. The angel comes and God delivers him. He walks outside and he's standing out there in the street. And verse 11, when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." Peter says, "I'm not dreaming. This really just happened." And when he considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. So he's standing there in the street, and all of a sudden he's like, "What am I going to do?" And he goes here to the house of Mary, where, notice, many were gathered together praying. And as Peter, notice, knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came. That means she was a young lady, probably a teenage girl. Notice here, Peter's there and he's knocking at the door of the gate. A damsel came to hearken. And she comes to the door. She hears him knocking on the door. And her name was Rhoda. Named Rhoda. All right, so talk to me. What's the girl's name? Her name was what? Rhoda. And the guy who just got rescued from the prison, his name was what? Peter. And Herod killed which disciple? James. Okay? And we're here. And they're at Mary's house, and Rhoda answers the door because Peter's standing there knocking. And when she knew Peter's voice, she heard through the door, it's Peter's voice, she opened not the gate. She didn't open the gate, notice, for gladness. Rhoda got so excited, she didn't open the door, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. Now here's Peter, he's knocking, Rhoda comes, who is it? It's Peter. And Peter's a fisherman, so you know he had a voice like that. It's Peter. And she hears the voice, and she recognizes it, and she gets so excited, she leaves him standing there. And turns and runs back inside. Rhoda was a blonde. Come on, absolutely. Oh, I'm sorry, sisters. But listen, Rhoda was a blonde. There's no doubt about it. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Yes, come on. Point at the blonde in your youth group, even if she's not blonde. Yeah, there we go. And y'all know who that is. But Rhoda runs back inside, and Rhoda leaves Peter standing there. So notice, she comes in, she's all excited, and told how Peter stood before the gate. 15. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad." Yo, girl, you are crazy. You cray cray. And they said, "Thou art mad." But she constantly affirmed, no, really, that it was even so. It's Peter, it's Peter, it's Peter. Then said they got real spiritual, "It is his angel." What? His angel? But Peter, here's poor Peter, he continued knocking. And when they had opened the door, finally somebody got smart, and saw him, they were astonished. Their jaw dropped. Here he is. Peter's standing at the door. They were astonished. But he beckoning unto them with the hand. I mean, they're all, oh, Peter's, making all this noise. But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he beckoning unto them with the hand, he puts his hand up to hold their peace. Yo, quiet. Declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. The Lord delivered me. The Lord made this happen. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. Now, let me ask you a question. How in the world did this miracle occur? How did it happen that we have Peter is delivered from out of the prison? Peter, after James was killed, and he was the next one on the list to be killed, ends up being delivered. How did it happen that God sent this angel and God did this incredible miracle that Peter was delivered? I want to give you some thoughts about it. And we're going to eat lunch after. Are we good, sir? Timing wise, we're okay, right? Lunch is going to be there when I'm done preaching. And I'm moving right along here. But I want you to understand some things about this story. And I want you to get some of these things in your brain about how this happened. Now, go to verse 5. We're going to break down verse 5. Acts chapter 12 and verse 5. I want to show you, first of all, the problem. Notice verse 5, Acts 12, verse 5. Here's the problem. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. How many of you would agree that it's a problem when the preacher gets locked up and put in prison? Would that be a I heard a few, about a month ago, or maybe even less than that now, a man in our church knows a pastor in China, and they came in and they arrested the preacher. Send all the people home. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if you came to church tomorrow morning and you came to church, those that come here to Victory said, where's Brother Aaron? Well, he got locked up last night. Can you imagine? You'd say, that's terrible. How did that happen? Well, he was telling people about Jesus and they didn't like it, so they locked him up. This was a real problem. Look at me. It's not just some story. This is not a movie. This is the Bible. This really happened. James really was killed and Peter was about to be killed. And it was a problem that Peter was arrested. Now, you know what we have in this room? You said we have teenagers. Yes. You know what we have, though? We have teenagers who have problems. Come on. We have teenagers that have problems. We don't always advertise that as teenagers, that we have problems. But there's people here with problems. Sometimes people have physical problems. Sometimes people are sick. And I don't know who all is dealing with what here. Sometimes it may not be your physical problem, but it's a problem in your family. A physical problem in your family. No doubt in a crowd like this, some of you have family that have cancer. And it may be somebody close to you. This is Matt. Matt's from New York State, up near Rochester. How old were you when your mother died? 18 years old. How long did she have cancer? 4 years. So when he's 14, typical teenager, youth department. I go up to his church and preach a youth rally in December. Great family. How many children? 8? 1 of 7. Big family. 14 years old. Mom's got cancer. 18. Senior year. Mom goes to heaven. Boy, never saw that coming. That's a problem when somebody in your family has a physical problem, or you yourself. Sometimes it's your sibling. My wife has MS, multiple sclerosis. She's just been diagnosed within the past year or so, and she's been dealing with some issues. And we're praying it doesn't get worse, and she has to take medicine shots 3 times a week. But I can feel her body, and it trembles inside. And it makes her very tired, and there's different things that go with that. Some people have it worse than others. They end up in a wheelchair. We don't want it to get worse. If you think about it, pray for her. Pray that everybody calls her to home, Miss J. Pray that she doesn't get any worse with that. But physical problems are real. It's real. And some of you have been affected by that, or you yourself deal with it. Sometimes we have problems of the mind, and I don't mean it to be a joke, but sometimes we have mental problems. And what I mean by that is sometimes God wants us to think a certain way, and the devil messes with our thinking. Do you understand that? Sometimes we start thinking the wrong thing. And I don't mean just mean unclean, but just something that's not really matching up with the Bible. The Bible word is this, imaginations. when you're young, they go to you go to kindergarten. Remember your kindergarten teacher? How many of you liked your kindergarten teacher? Come on, you all liked kindergarten teacher. Your first day, and you brought your snack out, and she, hello, what's your name? Or she probably memorized your name beforehand. But here's what she said at some point. Now, young children, I want you to use your imagination. And what it was, you're supposed to put yourself in the story, and you're supposed to use your, to imagine. Well, you know, the devil wants you to imagine things that aren't accurate. The devil wants you to think things that are not true. The Bible says casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The devil wants to mess with your mind and he can make you confused. God is not the author of confusion. And sometimes in your mind you're thinking, man, I know God is good, but how come I've got this problem in my family? Y'all with me? You understand? Sometimes you're confused. I know, Brother Aaron, I know my youth leader says the Bible's the Word of God, but how do we know that? And the devil will attack your mind. So sometimes we have physical problems. Sometimes we have mental problems, things we deal with. Sometimes it's an emotional problem. Sometimes we get discouraged. Teenagers get discouraged. Teenagers get depressed. That's what happens. Discouragement is a loss of heart, but depression is a loss of hope. And sometimes teenagers look at situations in their life and say, there's just no hope, and get depressed about it. Sometimes that's real. Sometimes people feel like, man, I just don't see an answer. And they get depressed and in their spirit. Sometimes you don't even know why. You see everybody else having a good time. You say, man, you know, I'll laugh, I'll go along with it. But in your heart, in your emotions, you don't feel what you want to feel. And sometimes you have emotional problems. Sometimes there's social problems. What do you mean, Brother Charlie? Sometimes in your family. Sometimes you have a brother or sister and they're the prodigal in your family. And I won't ask you to raise your hand. But some of you being raised up in good homes, your brother, your sister, they're away from the Lord. I have a sister right now, and I shouldn't say all this, but I have a sister right now. She's just a couple of years younger than I. And she's away from the Lord right now. I never saw that coming. She was our church piano player. You look at our music, she's on some of it from a few years, but we've been going through some hard times. My sister's away from the Lord. Some of you, your dad's not saved, your mom's not saved. Maybe even give you a little bit of grief for coming to church. Sometimes it's social problems with friends. I don't like her, she doesn't like me, we don't talk to each other. Social problems. You go through these things. Sometimes people feel like, I don't have any friends. I don't know how to make friends, I'm just... And that's how sometimes it feels. You know, by the way, you teenagers have a lot of friends. It'd be sad if there was anybody here in a crowd this big that felt like they didn't have friends. Some of you that are more sociable and you're able to make friends, you ought to be looking out for the people that struggle to make friends. You ought to be a friend to them. Find the person who just feels like they're a little bit disconnected and reel them in, pull them in. But sometimes, you know why you hear youth leaders say amen? Because it's a problem in a youth department. We'll tell you all, hey, go connect with that kid. And you go and give him some token handshake and then run back to your friends. And it's a little bit awkward when the youth leader is the only one reaching out to new people. Everybody okay with that, right? I'm not being mean. I'm just being honest. So sometimes social problems. Sometimes financial problems. Oh, that's me. I'm broke. I forgot my wallet today. I made these guys. They've had to buy all my food today. I feel like a little kid. You know, can I have money? You know, but I'm begging them for money today. If they don't feed me on the way home, brother, I'm in trouble. But anyway, you know, sometimes you have financial problems. What I mean by that is sometimes mom, dad lose a job. Come on now. Y'all, and sometimes that's a little bit awkward and things you go through. But sometimes financial problems. How about this? Spiritual problems. Spiritual problems. Remember I mentioned that cold group over here? Come on, let's just get real. Some of you, watch, you may be a senior. You may be a junior. You may have been raised up in church. And there may have been a time when you were more excited about the Lord in junior high than you are now in senior high. And somebody said, well, I never thought I'd get here. Eighth grade, seventh grade, camp. Man, I surrender to God and I plan to live for the Lord. Now it's just, I just feel like, I just don't feel like I'm in tune with God. Physically, mentally, emotionally, socially, financially, spiritually, young people have problems. Peter, therefore, is kept in prison. That is a problem. And there's no doubt about it. Look at verse 5 again. We'll keep moving. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. And I mentioned problems. Maybe I didn't mention your problem, but everybody has problems. How many of you say, Brother Charlie, the person next to me, they definitely have problems. Come on, right now, right? look at him and say, you have issues. Come on. Come on. That's the truth. Sometimes we have problems. I'd point at Brother Aaron right now, but that would be mean. Dr. Hartman. There we go. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. That's the problem. But notice, secondly, quickly, I want you to see the problem. But number two, notice this, the prayer. The prayer. Oh, yeah, there was a problem. How did it happen that God delivered Peter? Oh, we're looking at it. Notice, see the prayer. But prayer was made. Prayer was made. Prayer is when we talk to God and when we have God talk to us in our heart. We talk to God and God talks to us in our heart. Prayer is powerful. I'm talking to you this morning, now into this afternoon, about the power, watch me, the power of a praying church, the power of a praying youth department, the power of a praying teenager. Okay? The power of a praying church, the power of a praying youth department, the power of a praying teenager. You're a teenager who's part of a youth department that's part of a church. And we're talking about the power of praying church. Notice here, we see prayer. Prayer was made. Now, prayer is awesome. Keep your marker here and go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6, we talk about spiritual warfare and this idea of putting on your armor for the Lord. You're going to be a soldier for God. And we talk about, a lot of times we pick it up in verse 10, and we talk about 10 through 17. But I want you to notice especially verse 18, and I believe it ties in with this idea of putting your spiritual armor on. Notice verse 18. The first word in verse 18, together out loud, talk to me, the first word is what? Praying. Now think, in Acts chapter 12 and verse 5, prayer was made. Now we're in Ephesians 6:18, and it says praying. Praying. Praying is part of how you win the battle. Praying is part of what we use in our battle against the devil. Praying is important. Notice, praying is talking to the Lord. Praying is something God wants you to do. Notice what God says, praying always. Talk to me. What's the word praying when? Always. Everybody praying when? Always. The Bible says men ought always to pray. The Bible says pray without ceasing. So the idea is you ought to be praying all the time. Now I believe this, you ought to have a prayer closet, a time where you go especially in there and have your walk with God. But young people, we ought to be talking to God all the time. All the time. We ought to be praying and we ought to start our day with God, start your morning with God, and it ought to be that you're talking to the Lord all day long. You ought to be talking to the Lord and being in tune with the Lord. Back in the day, they had phones that had cords. Cords were connected to the phone. How many of you have ever seen a phone with a cord connected? Have you seen that? Way back in dinosaur days, all of our phones had that. And what would happen is this, you'd get a phone and you would have the phone, but it would only go so far because it was connected to the cord. And you had that cord. So here's what happened. People would learn how to have the phone and they'd be able to do other things while shouldering the phone. So here's what would happen. The phones back then were like gigantic and they were connected to a cord. So here's what happened. Somebody would shoulder the phone. Does that make sense? Now they may go around. For instance, a mom, she might be, you know, whatever, beating their kids, you know, because that's what moms do, right? Ah, you bad kid, you know, while shouldering the phone. Maybe cooking, maybe doing whatever, you know, curling her hair, whatever, teenage girl, curling, straightening, whatever you do. Yes, I get it. And so here it is, but while shouldering the phone, still talking while doing other things. Are you with me? I heard Brother Coral say this. I thought it was great to remember it. Get God on the line in the morning and then shoulder the phone all day. Y'all with me? Get God on the line in the morning and then shoulder the phone all day. Praying, Ephesians 6:18, you there? Praying, and I didn't come up with that great statement. That was Brother Coral. If you don't know who he is, now you do. But anyway, praying always, notice the next words, with all supplication. What is with all supplication? Supplication is a word that stresses the urgency of the need. The urgency of the need. Like I said with Vanessa, Dad, I'm starving. Well, I hear that like 20 times a day. Dad, I'm starving. And she wants to eat when that's going on. Some of you on the ride home, and it's tough because the youth leader's driving the bus and they want to get home. And somebody says, I have to use the bathroom. That's a senior guy. I have to use the bathroom, right? And no, I really have to use the bathroom. Can we please stop now? I have to use the bathroom. And what it is somebody stressing the urgency of the need. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. Stressing the urgency of the need is kind of like this. When you were a little kid and you wanted ice cream. Come on. And you're grabbing your dad's pant leg. Daddy, please, please, I want ice cream. That is supplication. All right? That is stressing the urgency of the need. Praying, not just praying once in a while, praying always with all supplication. Okay? Do you see it? You there? Ephesians 6:18. Y'all are doing great. Stay with me. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. Notice this statement. In the Spirit. In the Spirit. The Bible talks about in Jude praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Spirit. How many of you saved? Say amen. Amen. Talk to me. You know better than that. If you're saved, say amen.
Amen.
If you're saved and you're really saved, you know who lives on the inside right now? The Holy Spirit. You know one of the reasons He's there? To help you in prayer. You're to be praying in the Spirit. You want to be praying as the Spirit is leading you to pray. And you want to be praying with the help of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit helps and makes intercession for things that you don't even know you need to pray for. The Holy Spirit is our prayer helper. Part of what the Holy Spirit does is He moves in your heart about when you should be praying. By the way, the Holy Spirit, I'm going deep on this. I hope we're okay. The Holy Spirit will tell you when you've prayed enough. That's the word temperance. Temperance is knowing how much is enough. Right now I'm preaching about prayer. And then if I preach later on about read your Bible. And I preach later on about witnessing. And you say, man, how can I be reading my Bible and praying and witnessing all at the same time? And going to school and eating lunch because lunch is important. And here it is, how can I do these things? The Holy Spirit doesn't want you living on a constant guilt trip. Okay? He'll give you the fruit of the Spirit, temperance. Temperance is knowing how much is enough. That means this, the Lord will let you know when it's time to come off your knees. And there will be times when the Spirit of God tells you when it's time to get on your knees. Now, some of you just missed that, but some of you get it. And the Holy Spirit is our helper. Praying always with all supplication. Notice there, and it talks about in the Spirit, and then it says this, and watching thereunto. Everybody see that? And watching. You know what watching is? It's staying awake like a guard. It's staying awake like a guard. You ever get really tired? I'm watching somebody right now, and you're struggling to stay awake. I'm not going to tell you who it is. Look at the person next to you and say, wake up! There you go, all right? Here's what happens. You struggle to stay awake, but you know what watching is? It's staying awake like a guard. Late at night, early in the morning. Now, here's what will happen. If you're not careful, you'll stay awake doing things that aren't really important. Right? And then you crash in and sleep till whatever time it is that you sleep to. You know what you ought to do? You'd have times where you're praying, watching, staying awake like a guard. Late at night, early in the morning. I already said, start your day with God. Listen to me. Start your day with God. You got to prioritize some time when you get awake in the morning to spend time in prayer. Prayer is not what we have to do. Prayer is what we get to do. And prayer is talking to God. Now, I asked earlier about your favorite athlete. If your favorite athlete was out there in the main lobby, and I said, for Melinda, if I said LeBron's out in the lobby, she wouldn't even wait for my message to end. She'd just go running. I get to talk to him. I mean, she would think that's like the greatest thing that ever happened to her next to being saved is if she got to meet LeBron and talk with LeBron. Let me tell you something. She may not ever meet LeBron in this life, but she can talk to God every single day. And God's better than any human being that's ever lived. Now, isn't it crazy? God wants to talk to us and we can... You staying awake? All right, brother, don't go to sleep up there. God wants to talk with us. And we get to talk with God. That's an opportunity. We don't want to ignore that. We want to make sure we're doing that. So we're praying always with all prayer and supplication. And talks about in the Spirit and watching thereunto. Staying awake like a guard, getting up in the morning, watching thereunto with all perseverance. Perseverance. It's only found one time in your King James Bible, right here in Ephesians 6:18. It's the only time it's found. It means this persistency. It's the idea of persevering, being persistent. It means this, I'm not going to quit in my praying. I'm going to pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. And you stay after it with all perseverance. And notice here, and supplication. There's that word again. And then notice these last three words. Would you read them together with me out loud? Last three words together out loud. Ready? For all saints. Talk to me, everybody. What does it say? For all saints. You know one reason why we don't pray more? Because a lot of times we only pray when we're praying for ourselves. You know what Paul's saying here? You need to be praying for all saints. You need to be praying for all saints. We need to be unselfish in our prayer lives. How many of you would agree if you got a report this week that your mom had cancer, you'd want everybody to pray, right? Well, let me ask you a question. A prayer meeting at church, they announce the prayer request, do you take it seriously? Do you pray for other people and their needs? Do you pray for even church services? Do you pray? Did you pray for me? Will you pray for me? I'm here to preach to you. Some of you, I never met you before. Some of you along the way, whatever times you heard me preach, I want the Lord to be here today. Are you going to pray? Do you pray for your friends? Do you pray for the things and the needs of the church? You need to be praying for all saints. Don't be selfish in your praying. So only pray for me. You should be praying for all saints. Y'all need to take seriously these requests that are going on in other people's lives and not just pray for you, pray for others. And we need to do that. So, are we getting this idea of praying? Praying is talking to God. And God also talks to us in our hearts. We don't hear an audible voice in our ear, but we do hear God speak to us in our hearts. And we need to pray. Prayer is important. Flip back to Acts 12. You're a little warm. Some of you are a little bit warm. But Aaron, I don't know at some point what we can do, but can I open? Is that a door to the outside? Will that flip everybody out if I open? How many of you are too hot? You cold? You hot? How many of you are comfortable? How many of you are like snoozing comfortable? Oh, I'm trying to fight. I'd rather make you a little cold so you wake up. But anyway, stay with me. You're doing great. Home stretch. You're hungry. We're still good, sir. Correct? You told me I could. I hope we're good. You all right? Tell the person next to you. Say, you're all right. Say, don't whine. Don't whine. No whining in church. You're doing great. We're back to Acts 12:5, right? Talk to me. The first St. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. That is the what? Talk to me. What is it? That's the problem. Everybody talk to me. That's the what? Problem. But the second thing we saw what? We saw the prayer. We saw the prayer. Check this out. Peter therefore was kept in prison. That's the problem. But prayer was made. There's the prayer. And we talked about prayer was what it was. Now, prayer was made without ceasing. I want you to notice the priority. The priority. Prayer was made without ceasing. It was not stopping. You know what a priority? Talk to me. Help me. What's a priority? What's it mean to be a priority? A priority in your life means what? It's important. It's important. How many of you say, food is important? Absolutely. Come on, put both hands in the air. Hallelujah. Yes, food's important. You're not going to say, oh, I forgot to eat. No, no, you don't forget to eat. You say, why? Food is important to teenagers. There's no doubt about it. Sleep is important. Some of you are trying to get some right now. It's important, Brother Charlie. It's on my heart. Hey, sleep's important. If you didn't go to sleep at all last night, right now, you are feeling it. Why? Sleep is important. Important. That's a new word you learned. Important. Listen, sleep is important. And food is important. There are certain things that you do that are important. Brushing your teeth. Come on now. How many say, Brother Charlie, there's somebody near me right now really sketchy as to whether they brush their teeth this morning or not right now. Woo! Man, that's kicking. Hey, listen. You know, just get, man, if it's at noontime and your mother said, did you brush your teeth today? And said, oh, no, I forgot. Now, that's probably 90% of the seventh grade boys that are in this room right now. Ew, yes. Hey, you wake up in the morning. I don't know about you, but I'm looking for my toothbrush. I'm like, ah, you know, don't brood on me. You know, and I'm looking, ah, that minty clean. Why? Brushing my teeth's important. You know what prayer was made here? Check this out. Without ceasing. You know, when you got a problem, and it's your problem, or it's the problem of somebody that's close to you, you'll start prioritizing prayer. And here it was, they got serious about prayer. Let me ask you a question. What is it that you need from God that you need to get really serious about? How many of you seniors repping today? Let me see your hands. Seniors, right? What am I going to do about college? Everybody's saying to you, what are you going to do with your life? I don't know. I'm 18. I'm 17. What does that mean? What am I going to do with my life? I'm going to breathe. I don't know. I'm trying to figure that out. You get that look from the youth leaders. Come on, brother, right? You know, where are you going to go to college? You know, it's like, I don't know. You got people, you know, any of you that are going to youth conferences, Bible colleges, like they're sending you postcards, gift certificates, calling you, texting you, you know, come here, we have palm trees, come here, we have ice cream, whatever, you know. And it's like, oh, you know, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And trying to figure that out, you know, and it's like, well, who am I going to marry? Oh, yeah, and the boys, seventh grade boys are, no, I hate girls. But no, actually, you don't, thank the Lord. I hope we don't. Come on now. But here, who am I going to marry? Who am I going to marry? Now, you fellas, you know, you're not as stressed about it right now. Some of you should be. But anyway, but the guys aren't as stressed. But the girls, oh, come on now. When you were younger, you girls, you played dress up, right? We played wedding. Oh, no, I didn't. You're lying. There's pictures of it. Come on. And you played wedding. And listen, hey, and by the way, you girls, if I don't get on this later, I'll get on it now. Don't marry a dud. Woo, don't do that. I do. That's a long time. You say I do, it's done. Don't marry a dud. But anyway, we're off that. But you have these things that you're trying, and you got things you're trying to get from the Lord, answers from the Lord. You've got these things. Listen, you need to prioritize prayer. What youth department here is really a praying youth department? If God graded your youth department right now, scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the best number, let me ask you a question. Collectively, corporately, as a whole, your youth department, what number would God give your youth department? Man, I hope it's an 8, a 9, a 10. Listen, it should never be awkward to pray. It ought to just be, hey, we do pray. And it ought to be something you're prioritizing. It's important that we pray. Hey, if you have not figured it out, our country is in trouble. Our country needs help from God. And we need some young people that know how to get hold of God. You've got to make prayer a priority. Now watch me. I'm not anti-video game, but I'm pro-prayer. I'm not anti-games and foosball and shooting and all the rest. I'm a sports nut. I love sports, but listen. I'm not anti-sports, but I'm pro-prayer. And it seems like prayer gets pushed down. Prayer itself, the word's not super exciting. Brother Aaron, if I said right now, I'm preaching on dating this morning. And by the way, whatever your church says about all that, that's what I believe too. Whatever, date, court, betroth, your parents pick it, whatever, yes and amen. And I'm for it all. I'm not even going there right now, but here's the thought, all right? The thought would be this, you've got these things that are important to you, and you need to be praying about them. Quickly, Peter, therefore, is kept in prison. There's the problem. Home stretch, stay with me. Prayer was made. There's the prayer. Prayer was made without ceasing. There's the priority. Notice the people. The prayer was made of the church. Of the church. Now, how many of you are really thinking right now? Raise your right hand. I'm thinking. Raise your right hand. Come on, come on. Raise your right hand. You thinking? Raise your left hand. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Clap them together. All right, do what I do. Come on. Ready? Come on now. Yep, that's what I thought. All right, I asked how many of you were thinking. Oh, you got me, huh? Come on, ready? Here we go again. Ready? Yes. Ah. Prayer was made of the church. Are you thinking? Talk to me. Where were these people meeting? Where were they meeting? Where were they meeting? Mary's house. Very good. Do we have a prize? Something later for... It's not Jared. What was it?
Jaden.
He deserves a prize. Because he knew, because he was thinking, they were in Mary's house. What are you talking about? Because it was made of the church. Some of you say, the church, and you think, look at me, the building. They were in a house. Mary's house. The church here is not talking about the building. The church here is talking about the people. Everybody good? Prayer was made of the church. Who's to be the people doing the praying? The church. You're the youth department. You're the church. You girls are that. Well, we're not called to preach. You're called to pray. Of the church. Of the church. Of the church. Of the church. Listen, I'm not going to go down to McDonald's today and expect them to be having a prayer meeting. But if you all go inside the McDonald's, you could have a prayer meeting. Come on, right? You can pray anywhere, anytime, and you should be praying because you're the church. It doesn't have to just be in the building. Why do we think, well, the only time we can pray is when we go to church? No, you young people ought to be praying, come on a regular basis together and with each other. It shouldn't be awkward to pray. It ought to be all the time going on that me and my friends, we're a praying group. The family that prays together stays together. Hey, check this out. The friends that pray together stay together. The youth department that prays together stays together. And you have opportunity to pray. You ought to be praying with people. You ought to be praying for people. It ought to be that you just get used to doing that. And here it is. They were praying. Notice, prayer was made without ceasing, the priority of the church, the people. Notice this quickly. The power. It was made of the church unto who? Talk to me. Unto God. Unto God. Young people, God answers prayer. Everybody say that? God answers prayer. Tell the person next to you. Ready? God answers prayer. God answers prayer. God has all power. God has all might. God has all strength. You understand the God I pray to is the God that kept Noah safe in the ark? You with me? The God I pray to is the God that put Joseph on the next to Potiphar level, next to Pharaoh level, and took care of him. The God I serve is the one that took care of Esther when she said, if I perish, I perish. But God brought her out of there. The God I serve is the one that allowed David to take down Goliath. Come on now. The God I pray to, he's the one that brought Daniel up out of the lion's den. The God we pray to is the one that brought the three Hebrew boys out of the fiery furnace. Hey, the God we pray to is the one that picked and chose Mary to be the one that was the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. The God we pray to is the one that raised up John the Baptist to be the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. The God we pray to is the one that helped the early church to get established here and in the book of Acts. The God we pray to is the one that's been with those church people through the past approximate 2,000 years. The God we pray to right now, He's the God who made the earth. He said, let there be light, and there was light. And God's the one that keeps the earth spinning on its axis. He's the one by all things consists. He's the God who is immutable. That means He never changes. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today. He's the same forever. Young people, listen to me. He knows all things. He's everywhere. He has all power. He has all strength. He has all might. He has all ability. I'm not talking about Allah. Are you with me? I'm not talking about Buddha, some stupid looking thing that you pray to. I'm not talking about a statue of Mary. I'm talking about Jehovah God, the God of the Bible. He has all power, and when you pray, He listens to you. Do you understand? When you talk to God, God bends His ear towards what you're saying with your voice or from your heart, and God has the power to answer your prayer. What a God! What a God that He's been so good to you to put you in a Bible-believing church family. And you have the Word of God in your hands here this morning. And God's wanting to do great things in your life and in your church. God did a great thing for these people. Peter could have been beheaded. He could have died, but God rescued him. Question, where is it that you're seeing God work in your youth department? Where is it that you're seeing God work in your church? Where is it that God's working in the life of you and your friends? Where is it if I said right now, take out a piece of paper and a pen and write down some of the things God's done for you recently where God heard your prayer? There is power in a praying teenager. There's power with a praying youth department. There's power with a praying church. But Aaron, I'll be honest with you. I've got a lot going on in my life right now. I'm busy. I got a lot going on in my life. I'm here, and you're here, and whatever the church people have done investing, and these youth leaders, they've got a lot going on. Young people, we bring you to a youth rally. We don't bring you here to torture you. They want you to have a great time. Everything they do, you ought to just say, man, this is awesome. Why? Just because people loved you enough to do it. But here's the point. We don't bring you in here and have youth rallies and do all the different things that we do. We don't do all this stuff to torture. We're trying to help you. And the point would be this. I don't want to go and just see your generation live without knowing God's power. Why would I come from New Jersey, drive 3+ hours? They did the driving, but I was in the car. That's scary. But anyway, here's the thought. Why would I come all the way from New Jersey at 48 years old, have nothing better to do than to just come here and yell at you? No, no, no. Listen here. I want to help you from God's Word for you to understand what could happen in your life, what could happen with your friends, what could happen in your youth department, what could happen in your church if somebody would just get hold of this idea of the power of prayer. Prayer is so powerful. This idea that God, you know, well, America's bad right now, so it's probably too late. What kind of mess is that? I want to see revival in America. Occupy till I come. Go in business. Do the work of the local church. Stay after it. I don't want to see a powerless. Listen, we're here today. Y'all are stuck with me. I'm stuck with you. I'm not here to play around. I want to see God move in your heart. And you ought to want God to move in your heart and in your friends' hearts. We got people dying around the world for the cause of Christ. Hey, we need to be having something that's real in our lives. Prayer. Peter got delivered. You know what I think he was really thankful for? That there was a group of people that were willing to prioritize prayer. Hey, Peter was sleeping in the middle of the night. And when the angel woke him up, you know where he went? To Mary's house. You know what they were doing? Look at me. In the middle of the night, they were watching. They were praying. Oh, Brother Clark, what an amazing group of praying people. They had so much faith. Oh, really? When Rhoda answered the door, here was their response to her. Peter's here, Peter's here. And here's their response. Thou art mad. Girl, you are crazy. Peter's locked up in prison. Now they're praying for deliverance. And when deliverance came, they didn't even believe it had happened. Well, for us to get great things from God, we have to be these people that have great faith. Jesus said, if you have faith as the seed of a mustard seed, I'm going to do things that are going to blow your mind. I'll move mountains for somebody who believes just a little bit. Well, you know, I'm not the pastor. Hey, this was in Mary's house. These are just some common people, some people that wanted to get hold of God because they had a burden on their heart. Well, you know, as far as I know, I'm healthy and, you know, I've got food for my stomach, clothes for my back, so I'm good. I don't really need to pray. What about for all saints? What about everybody it is? What about your country? What about your church? What about the lost people on their way to hell in Martinsburg and in Clinton, Maryland and here, wherever we are. We're in the woods here, but wherever. Listen, hey, I'm telling you right now, we've got to have some young people that know how to get hold of God. And you read your Bible, Genesis to Revelation, it wasn't just the old folks that knew how to pray. And thank God for old folks that do how to pray. There were some young people that knew how to pray. Do you know how to pray? Do you pray? Let's pray right now. Come on and pray. Everybody, come pray. Find a spot. Come on. Pray with some friends. Pray by yourself. Come on. Well, I don't use the altar. We'll use it today. Well, I'm in that cold group. Well, come anyway. Let's have a prayer meeting. We good with that? Come on. Well, I don't know how to pray. Talk to God. Real simple. God, it's me. He'll hear you. Come on. Bring your friends. Let's just all pray. We got to start somewhere, right? Just find a spot. Praying when you kneeling when you pray is cool because it shows a humility before God. Just find a spot. You don't know how to talk to the Lord, just pray in your heart. Pray with a friend, whatever you want to do. Let's pray. Let's talk to God. You know, it's cool. We can all talk to God at the same time and God hears all of our prayers at the same time. Don't be embarrassed about it, awkward about it. You can, sister, you want to come play piano? That'd be wonderful. While they're praying, and that way it's not too quiet to where they can hear themselves too much. But y'all pray. Pray, get with a friend or pray by yourself. Talk to the Lord. And let's pray together. A praying youth department. Pray together. If you're with a friend and they've got whatever problem going on in their life, I mentioned problems, no doubt. And there's people here, and you're with somebody right now, and they've got a big problem. Maybe their mom and dad's breaking up, and they've given you that secret. Maybe somebody's got a health problem. Maybe somebody's just disturbed in their thinking. Been a little confused thinking about just quitting church and going out in the world. Maybe right now your pastor's family's having a tough time. How about pray for that area of the bus route that you work right now? How about those of you who go to public school, pray for your public school right now. That God will give you a revival of people getting saved. Some of you are part of a youth choir or a teen group that you sing together. Why don't you pray and say, God, use our music. Pray with your friend. Maybe you got somebody here not saved. Pray with them. Ask them if they want to be saved. And you can pray together about that right now. You need to learn how to pray. Pray with your friends. Pray for our country right now. God will give us revival. Pray for our meeting today. Maybe you just rolled in here and just think, well, you know, it's time for me to pray for the meeting. That God would help. That God would move. That God would stir. Ask the Lord to touch our hearts. Ask the Lord to help us today. Why don't you pray right now and ask God to help you to prioritize prayer. Ask God to help you to be a youth department of praise. All right? Now, if you've been praying all by yourself, I want you to get with somebody right near you, next to you, real quick. Find somebody. If you don't even know their name, introduce yourself. A couple of you guys, get together, introduce yourself. Somebody knows how to pray out loud. If you're not too embarrassed, pray out loud right now together. Would you do that? Just somebody pray out loud. Ask the person their name. Ask them if they have a prayer request. Doesn't have to be awkward. I think it ought to be just happening all the time that teenagers are praying together. There's power in you praying. God hears us right now. Right this moment, God's hearing us. Right this moment. Pray with your youth leaders. The youth leaders ought to pray with teenagers on a regular basis. One-on-one, pray with them as a crowd. We shouldn't hold back. Let's talk to God. Pray effectually. Pray fervently. Pray your heart out. Pray, pray, pray. We got problems, but we've got prayer. And we got to prioritize it. We're the people who pray. We're the church.